When the world keeps telling you you're not enough the way you are, you feel like you've tried everything 100 times before. Listen closely and you'll hear a voice coming from inside, telling you how to love your body.
Hello and welcome to How to Love Your Body. I am Jenna and this is
Lauren. Hello.
And we are here today talking about beauty culture and makeup. The reason we're going to talk about this today is because I did a reel on our Instagram the other day. Was it a little sassy? Yes. And it was about our use of makeup. One of our experts in the Undiet Your Mind app is Helen from Not Your Manic Pixie Dream Curl. That's her Instagram. And I was having a little chat with her the other day. She was just wanting more information about being an expert on the app. So we had a conversation and her whole thing is like beauty culture, makeup, shaving, hair products, hair removal, all the things that we do, particularly as women or people who identify as women, to look feminine and what that means. And she really challenges beauty culture the same way we challenge diet culture. And so I thought that was so interesting because that is one area that I haven't, like, just a year ago, I had hair extensions. I've had my eyebrows microbladed. Like, I've done some pretty, like, Lauren doesn't do much in that category, but like, I've done a lot of like beauty things. Still, even though we work so hard to fight against diet culture and looking the way you're supposed to and everything, but I still personally found I still really am invested in beauty culture and makeup and hair and looking a certain way other than trying to control my body size. So when I was talking with her, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. And so I was reflecting on it more. And then I was reflecting on the idea that a lot of people, including myself in the past, have said like, oh, I just do it for myself. I just do makeup and my hair for myself. Like, even if I don't see anybody, I still want to do it. And it's for me. And then we've kind of decided that that phrase is like more virtuous than if you're doing it for other people. But then when I thought about it, I'm like, actually, that's kind of messed up that we think of it that way, because we're saying, I am so invested in beauty culture that even if I don't see anybody, I want myself to look that way so that I feel better about myself. Like, it's a more internalized issue as opposed to like, I feel like I have to wear makeup to work because then I don't feel professional and I don't get taken seriously. That's more of a societal issue. Whereas if we're talking about, oh yeah, I wear makeup at home, even if I'm not going to see anybody just for myself, that's more of an internalized issue. So I noticed for myself that I wanted to challenge this idea of wearing makeup for myself or for anyone else, because I did have attachment to it. No, I don't wear makeup every day. I actually rarely wear makeup, but I do notice, like, if we're going over to a friend's house, going to a get together, going out for dinner, any sort of like holiday event, I feel the need to wear makeup. And a lot of people and the reason this post was so interesting is because we got a lot of backlash for this, a lot of upset people about this idea of not wearing makeup. And where you have upset, you have like a trigger. So obviously this triggered a lot of people. And there were kind of a few different like reasons why people were upset. So one being the idea of like, oh my God, I feel like there's always something I need to work on to fix to be better. And like, I don't want to hear this pretty much, which is fine. But a great thing you can do is if you don't want to hear something, scroll on by. But then I was thinking like, yeah, I get what you're saying because we get that too. Like, we read self-help books and we like doing inner work and doing the deep work. But sometimes you just need to read a book about like summer love or...
Like a fantasy book that isn't
Yeah, or
necessarily a
fantasy,
reality.
or just something entertaining and funny. Like, I get it. I need breaks from that, like self-development and personal development too.
But you kind of pick it up when you're ready, you know? Like if somebody's like, this is not my, like even with personal development, there might be something that you want to work on, but you can't work on everything at once. So, or maybe you don't even know that you want to work on it. Like maybe the whole makeup thing could be like, nope, I'm working on food and body right now. I can't bring it. Like I wear makeup or this is what I do. I'm just going to keep doing it and that's fine. And then maybe down the road, it's like, oh, I'm kind of understanding that beauty culture is kind of toxic as well, and I need to look at my like intentions behind makeup and beauty, and then it could happen later on. It all doesn't have to happen today.
Or never. Like,
Yeah,
that's the
sure.
thing, is we all have body autonomy. So if you're like, no, I love wearing a full face of makeup every single day and I don't ever want to question that or work on that, that is absolutely your choice. Or, oh no, I love wearing makeup on occasions. It feels really good. It's like, well, yeah, it probably does feel really good, but why does it feel really good? So that's what we're questioning. But if you're like, I don't want to question that, I don't want to work on that, then that's fine. But some people were annoyed of like, ah, oh, another thing to work on. But then when I thought about it for a second, because I was like, yeah, I get that. But then I thought, well, it doesn't spending time, money, and energy on makeup every day, isn't that kind of the thing that we're like, oh, I'm trying to be better by wearing makeup? So doesn't not wearing makeup actually get you off the hook of like having to spend that time, money, and energy? It's actually easier to not wear makeup than to wear makeup. It's more natural and more like accepting and relaxed to not wear makeup than to
It's
wear
kind of like, what
makeup.
if we didn't have makeup? Like, what if it didn't exist? You know, not saying like makeup's bad. Nothing is actually bad or wrong. It's the intentions behind why you do the things that you do. And I wear makeup on occasion too. And I feel like I have a decently healthy relationship with it because Jenna and I were talking about it before we started recording. And I do genuinely feel like I could wear makeup or not wear makeup, and it could be out of the house and at a party or wherever. Because, you know, we most likely will put on makeup if we're around other people. And especially if it's like a social event. Yeah, that's probably when I typically wear makeup. If it's like, you know, Thanksgiving in the US is coming up. And I was like, yeah, I'll probably wear it on Thanksgiving because we're going to go to like a family party. But I also, if somebody was like, but I'm not, if I didn't wear it, I'm okay. So I really feel like it's your own relationship with makeup. Like it's not like you can never wear it again because it is part of the problem and it is a toxic culture. And yeah, I do believe the beauty industry can be very toxic. And it also has, it's your own intention and your own preference and it's your own awareness in why you do the things that you do. And if you feel completely at peace with why do you do the things that you do, then that's great. And if you want to work on something because you're like, oh, I noticed that the intention is not necessarily where I would like it to be. Let me question it a little bit more. Okay, that's great too. So this is not to get on and create a podcast episode about now you have to shun all beauty products and never wear makeup again. And it's just more of like, let's bring up the awareness around it and have you think for yourself on why you wear it or you don't wear makeup or why you do anything that you do with hair or like clothing or, you know, I'm still very much into like, I like to shave my legs. I like to pluck my eyebrow. Like, I like to do that too. Is it like I can't go outside if I don't do it? No, but like, would I rather do it? Yeah, and maybe there is some questioning behind that. Like, why do you feel like you need to shave your legs before you go to the beach? I mean,
Well, I mean, it's
there's
100%. We know
probably some story
why.
underneath that.
Because we were told we
Right.
have to as
It's
women.
right. Exactly. But that's why it's cool to be like, if you choose this, I mean, I don't do it, but it's like anybody who's like free, then like no more shaving. I'm just gonna let my hair go free. That's awesome. And for somebody who is like, it doesn't really bother me, but I choose to shave, that's awesome too. But it's just, I think it's really just becoming aware of what's actually going on that's most important. And then kind of make your own decisions. Like Jenna was saying, it's all about your own autonomy and your own choices.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing is like, okay, yeah, it's the same with dieting. You could just diet forever and never question it. Well, why do, well, I just want to be thin and be healthy and look good. Well, yeah, because why do you think that is? It's not a personal choice. You didn't come up with that idea on your own. Like we were taught that. So it's the same with any other beauty thing. And I think it's empowering to know, like, oh, it's not a personal preference to wear makeup and shave my legs and get laser hair removal and go get fake tans and all stuff. Like, that is not a personal preference. We were told all of this and took it on and said, oh, okay, to be a feminine person in this society, we need to do all these things and we need to look this way and we need to participate in buying all this stuff and doing all this stuff. Even if you still then decide to go do it, at least you know, like, you have self-awareness of, like, I understand why I'm doing this, and I understand that I am kind of complying to a idea of what I'm supposed to look like, and I am choosing to do that because at this point in my life, like, that's what's comfortable for me. Because I don't think it's not fair to be like, hey, every single person should never wear makeup or shave their legs or that. It's like, we all have different life situations. We all feel safe or unsafe in certain situations. We are all like a certain degree away from the societal like look of what we're supposed to look like. So yeah, as a straight size, white, conventionally attractive person, it's easier for me to say, I'm just not going to wear makeup than someone maybe who has really a lot of acne and feels like really more comfortable covering it, or super, super light hair, or a trans person who needs that for safety. That was one of the comments that came up. It's like, of course, this conversation is not for every single person in every single situation. Mm-hmm. It's for like the person who, yeah, I wear makeup and I do it to be quote unquote prettier. And I notice that I feel like I need it. And wouldn't it be cool to challenge myself to kind of get out in the world and not put it on? And I do find that in order to get true, like, insight, you have to do it. You can't just think like, oh yeah, like I'd be totally fine going to parties without makeup, but I'm not going to actually do that. Like, well, why not try it and see what comes up for you? Because you'll learn a lot about yourself. It doesn't mean you never should wear makeup again. But it's like, maybe push out your comfort zone a little bit. Like, oh, I'm getting together with a group of friends I would typically like put a bunch of makeup on. I'm going to try and like go with no makeup today and see what comes up for me. Because for me, we even just went to a friend's house the other day. Like the people there, no one there like was wearing makeup. They're in sweatpants. Like it was not a fancy affair, but I've just put like even just jeans and a nicer sweater on and kind of did and like put my hair up in a little bun thing. And even then I was like typically to put even like not sweatpants on and going out to see people, I kind of want to go even just, but oh, just a bit of mascara and blush and just a little something to like freshen up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think that could be important for somebody like for us who we work from home. We typically are not dressing up because not only do we work from home, we have small kids, so we're not really dressing up ever. So it might be nice to be like, wow, I'm actually going to be social. Oh, I actually could put something on other than sweats and just like my hair tied up and just like kind of messy and dirty, which is fine. That's like how we live a lot of the time. And it could be nice to be like, you know what? I feel kind of good to just like get dressed up. And I think that's great too. But I think the biggest point that you made, that the most important point is well, us talking about this, yes, we have pretty much, we have zero, I would say zero risk if we walked outside without makeup, without trying to wear nicer clothes. Like we could wear anything, do anything, and we have zero risk to the outside world. So I get that. Like we don't really have a place to say, I mean, we get to have this conversation, but yeah, we don't live in different bodies. We don't live in different, identities. So that makes, I think that is the biggest piece that we should, talk about, that it's like, yeah, we have zero risk. So we could freely be like, let's practice this. Let's challenge ourselves. Mm-hmm. And somebody who feels like, actually, yeah, I actually have more risk to that. Yeah. You still get to challenge. You still get to question. You still get to have your own awareness, but also assess your own risk mm-hmm. before making this challenge on yourself, or before, you know, just add that in. Because yeah, I easily and freely can talk about this and know that I am completely safe to go against all of beauty culture.
And it's, of course, me not wearing makeup's not going to change anything in the world, but it's just exploring my own internal things that come up when I go out and I don't have makeup on, when I go to Christmas dinner with no makeup on, when I go to New Year's Eve with no makeup on, things are going to come up for me. And those, I like those insights into myself, and seeing my beliefs and what things I'm hanging on to. And I'm not saying at all that I'm never going to wear makeup again. I very likely will. And then as I was talking with Helen, who does that work with beauty. So what we were talking about is why, like, it does seem like people are more accepting of like squash diet culture, like down with diet culture. But then when you talk about beauty culture, you get a lot of backlash. And it's mm-hmm. like, what's with that? Why is there that line there? If we're super aware about diet culture, shouldn't beauty culture come along with that and anyone who's doing like anti-diet culture work would understand beauty culture is like all tied into that. Yeah. And Helen was saying how she gets so much backlash for all of her posts, and she gets a lot of, and I'm like, that's weird, because we're two straight body people and we talk about fat all the time and fat bodies, and we don't get very much negative like responses. And so it's like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then when I did this one beauty post, I'm like, oh, I see that she mm-hmm. probably does get a lot of backlash. And so my idea behind this is diet culture, we can see the personal negative side effects. Oh, I'm binging. I'm obsessed with my weight. Dieting hasn't worked for me. I've actually gained weight over all this time. So there's that awareness of like, oh, this is negatively affecting me personally. So I understand that I need to stop. I understand that I need to eat enough. I need to fuel my body. Fat phobia is bad. But then when you go to beauty culture, it seems like less of a like a negative thing. It's like, well,
it's a lot easier to control.
Yeah.
Because yeah, we would love, I think most dieters would love to be able to control their bodies, because that's what we're trying to do. And we've realized like, I can't keep fighting with this. Diets don't work. I'm fighting myself every day. It's making me miserable. But it's not as hard to go to the beauty store and buy makeup and put something on that you enjoy wearing and that it looks really nice. And there's no like, it's easier to manipulate your body with beauty products. It absolutely 100% can happen. With diet culture and with dieting, it absolutely 100% cannot really happen, because it might happen for a little bit, but as we know, it will backfire because of the whole yo-yoing with trying to manipulate your body. You might lose some weight, but then you might find yourself gaining even more weight. So it's like, you can't fight with that anymore. But if you turn it into beauty culture, you can go get your eyebrows done, you can go get your nails done, you can go get your hair done, you can get your makeup done, and you can do it every time. It's not going to have like a reverse effect, I feel. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, no, I agree. Some of Helen's stuff, she has gone deep into the beauty culture stuff. So she has such great insights. But one of the things was, she does keep people saying, yeah, well, I'm in a fat body, so makeup is what I have access to for like beauty. And it's like, I get that. But then Helen was saying, so like, then the makeup is like a visual apology. Mm. Like, oh, I'm sorry, my body isn't how it's supposed to be, so let's make my face how it's supposed to be. And like I said, there's no judgment on that. I'm gonna wear makeup still after this year, so I'm not saying you shouldn't wear makeup, but I think our own awareness around it can really change things. Because I mean, it's the same with a young person in your life seeing you not diet. It's like a young person in your life seeing you go to Christmas dinner with no makeup. It's like every woman in her life, or every person who identifies as a woman, is wearing makeup around the Christmas table, but there's one woman who isn't. Mm-hmm. And that can change things for people, right? Because it's still a few of the positive comments that came in from my makeup post was,
was,
yeah. But like the one topic was like, oh yeah, when my 8-year-old was asking me why I'm putting foundation on and I had to explain to her that I had to cover up my skin, like that made me question things. And I was like, yes, like try to explain to a child why you need false eyelashes and put like paint on your face and color
like
on
every single day. Like maybe you're like, oh, it's kind of fun to do it sometimes, or you know, and but if it's like,
but even I can't that, leave the it's house. Like women have to look like this when they go to special events. It's like right. It does. I'm not saying there's judgment on it because I'm going to wear makeup. This is not a judgment, but it's like I've never thought of it really this deeply before. Of like, I don't have daughters, you do, and so they won't see you in makeup that much. So maybe that's a good thing, but even just like I have nieces, so it's like just to show up at family events with no makeup on. Maybe they don't see that very much.
No, that'll be cool. I actually think that, I don't know if you saw this already, but Glennon Doyle made a really strong statement. She went on Ellen. It's funny. It's all happening at the same time. She went on Ellen and she just did not want to wear makeup. Yeah. Like she just was, when she said it was really scary for me, you know, she's going on TV, like that's going to be shown to everybody. And she's obviously already popular and very well known, but she went on Ellen, and when the hair and makeup came in, she's like, they're like, okay, go to hair and makeup. And she's like, no makeup, please. And she didn't wear any makeup, and she went on Ellen, and she's like, and nobody died, and everything was fine, and she was able to, you know, live her life, and she didn't wear makeup on national television. And I thought that was really cool. Like, and if she wears makeup again on a different TV show.
Well, that's the thing. She's pushing those boundaries. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm not wearing makeup to this one event and now I'm never going to wear makeup again. It's like, oh, let's push myself a little bit out of my comfort zone and see what happens. And that's so cool that she did that. But then we also know, like, she's publicly shared about how she struggles with food and body and still very in diet culture. So it's like, it's hard for people to grasp all of it, I think.
Yeah.
Because if you are really tackling diet culture and beauty culture, you now like are really disconnected from society as a woman, because I don't go primp and preen and go to the spa with my friends. Well, I would still go because I would get a 10-hour massage. I love massages. But it's like, oh, I'm not going to the salon, I'm not going to the nail salon, I'm no longer spending all this time at the mall buying my makeup, I'm not getting ready with my girlfriends to go out for an hour, I'm not, you know, it's, I'm not dieting, I'm not doing diet talk with my friends. Well, now how the hell are we connecting? So I get that, but that doesn't mean that's right. That doesn't mean that that's what we should be connecting with people with, is altering our looks.
Yeah. It's very interesting to be a woman. I mean, and I know men struggle with this, and let's, we don't have to push men out of the conversation or anybody out of the conversation. But since we do identify as women, it's kind of easiest to talk about the experience. But yeah, it's interesting to kind of go from like how we, the, our development, our ages, you know, when, the whole food and body thing happens for however long, then you're like this youth, it's like youth is so magical or something. And then the makeup comes in and the beauty industry. And then it's like, you become a certain age and then you kind of there, I have a friend who was kind of saying like, I don't know. She always like references when she was younger, she was like, you know, the hot thing at work, and she could get into like any club. She just, you know, just like people, you know, would hit on her and, you know, compliment her. And she just said, she's like, I knew I was getting old when I went to a work event. Like she'd go to these work events and she's like, I knew I was getting old when I didn't get hit on at my work event, because she maybe crossed like, I don't know, middle age. And she kind of thinks of it as like, oh yeah, I was so great back in my day, I had it going on. And it's like, she's like, and now it's almost like she devalues herself because now she's not getting all this attention from men, because now, yeah, she's technically not young anymore. And it's just funny because when I look at her, I'm like, you literally, not that I was trying to feed the problem, but it's like, you literally look the same to me. Like, it's not like you crossed the threshold of now you went from like getting hit on to not. And so now you're just a monster. But it's just like, women do have to go through, like, I was so, you know, I had all this attention and now I don't. So that's same with diet culture, with like, I had all this attention when I lose weight, and when I didn't, I don't. I was young and hot and was able to get in all the clubs, and now I can't. I'm older now, so I'm not really looked at anymore. And then you devalue yourself. So then you're going through all this ageism stuff, and it's like, my life is now kind of over because I have hit the threshold where Which I'm no is, longer valued. It's like, crazy. It's
so crazy because I don't know. Like, do you think men are thinking like that?
I guess we could ask them. I don't really have conversations with men. If you're a man
listening
to
this or identify as a man, please tell us, do you feel this way where you're like, oh yeah, I'm too old now, so like the attention's over? Like, I just don't think that's how they're functioning.
No, I think like older men,
it's like, oh, I got, especially if you have money, it's like, I've got money and I'm an older guy and I'm going gray and nobody cares and I'm just gonna get the whoever I want.
It's like women get gray hair and they're like, you should dye that, and like men get gray hair and they're like, you're a silver fox.
Yeah, it is. I find it very attractive.
Ridiculous. It's just interesting. And I know we're only really talking about, you know, men and women. And I know there are many different gender identities. So we don't want to be, you know, exclusive. But that's kind of like what I'm able to speak on the most because I understand it the most. But I'm sure there's so many different.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of like beauty struggles with any other identity because it's not so cut and dry. Like, as a woman, if you're a straight cis woman, you kind of know what you're supposed to do, and
you're given like a very clear path. Even if it's toxic, you got a clear path.
Yeah, so I get it. It's for freaking messed up for everybody. But if you are able to try to push your boundaries with beauty culture, try it. I think you might find some interesting things come up. I think you also might find 99% of the time, no one gives two shits about if you wear makeup or not. No one cares.
While still assessing risk, I always want to add that one in because I'm like, that one really hit me. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's what I mean. Like, push your boundaries. And if your boundaries are like, oh, I could never not go out with my makeup because of this reason, that's fine. We'll test some other boundaries that feel okay. Like, test some boundaries that it feels like, okay, yeah, that's not gonna be the end of the world if I try that, but I want to see what comes up for me. Cause this is really an internal experiment. Like, I don't really care how other people react to me not wearing makeup. It's how I feel going out without makeup. And like, I have gray hairs coming in more now and I'm not dyeing my hair. But I follow a lot of people who are like they're going gray journey on Instagram. And I'm like, I think it's awesome. Like, I think it's so good on people. It's cool.
I love it. I think going through the whole pandemic kind of did help people embrace their natural side because you weren't able to get nails done. You weren't able to dye your hair. You weren't able to do a lot of the beauty things. You weren't able to go get your lashes done every month. And I think it showed people like, oh, it's kind of freeing to not feel forced to have, like, not saying you can't ever do it now that you are able to probably go out and do more of that, those things, but maybe there's just a different perspective on how much you want to do it or
There just is.
The freedom around it.
It is pretty nice. Like, even there's this girl I follow on Instagram who's like local, who does really cool nails, like really amazing art and stuff just on natural nails, just nail polish. But I'm like, those are so cool. Like, I don't really want to go get my nails and just for them to paint them pink. Like, I can do that myself. So I thought this, my friend goes to this girl and she has such intricate nails and they're so beautiful and like cool patterns and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's fun. Maybe I'll go see her. Then I was like, not bucking. I'm like, she's pretty expensive because they're so lovely. And I'm not like, I don't have tons of money, extra cash right now. So I'll do that later. But it's like, just to almost let it go and be like, why do I need to get my nails done at all? No one's going to notice. Nobody cares. And I'm like stressing about like when I'm going to book it and if I can afford it. Mm-hmm. And it's
I see that, but I also feel like I feel like you can appreciate beauty. And even if it's like on your body, because I just was kind of thinking like, well, what about art? What about like a beautiful painting or a beautiful, you know, something that's more outside of the body, not so internal. This makes me so beautiful. But like, I think bringing that perspective is, can't things just be appreciated because of the beauty that it gives you, like your internal feeling of, because, you know, anybody can look at a painting and it can make people feel something different.
Right.
So you can look at, somebody might be like, no, that why would anybody enjoy that? And somebody else can look at it and be like, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like it, the way it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. So I think that's more of a healthy way to look at it, where it's like, okay, yeah, you don't need to get your nails done in this really cool, beautiful way. Of course you don't. Like, you will survive without it. And is it, can you look down at your nails and it's like, wow, this is art. This is beautiful. This is part of my body. And yes, it will go away at some point. And it's not like I have to have my nails like this. Like, nobody will ever see my bare nail. That's never going to happen. And I'm going to spend all my money on these nails for the rest of my life. It's like, I think that's different than, I really appreciate this person's profession. I want to support their profession. And it's art. And then the way it makes me feel when I look down at my nails, it's so beautiful. And I know I'm not going to do this all the time, but how nice to give myself this opportunity to at least have this experience.
I get that. But I just always come back to like, yeah, but we've been taught as women that self-care and me time is like time for you to look better. Go get your hair done. That's me time. Go get your nails done. That's me time. Go to the gym. That's me time. It's like, we have me time where we're like it's about our inner experience. And
well, it's like, how does that make you feel though? Do you feel for, you know?
But if it does feel good, I love pampering shit, but why? That's the thing I want to question, is like, why do I like that? Why does that make me feel good? Why does going to the salon, if I went to the salon and came out looking exactly the same, I wouldn't go. It's about the way, it's still about the way I look.
I feel like I look exactly the same when I go get
you don't get hair dyed or like the hair extensions or all the weird shit I've done with my hair over the years. You just get like trim, so you don't count.
I guess, well, I know your brain and my brain are looking at it maybe a little bit different perspectives, because
you haven't, like, if I added up the amount I spent on hair in the past 20 years, I would be alarmed. Like, I've dyed it every color. I've had like 5 different types of extensions, because I've always been weird about my hair, because it is very fine. Mm-hmm. It does not grow. And it's just like always been weird. And now I realize it's curly. So maybe that was the problem half the time, was that I was like trying to make it
straight. It's funny. If you look at the journey of the Body Love Society with Lauren and Jenna, literally Lauren looks exactly the same. And Jenna has
every photo shoot.
She looks very different in every picture we've ever taken together. Yeah. And I'm just, here comes Lauren looking the same. And Jenna's like, got this pink hair now, got these extensions, got this beautiful curly hair. I mean, it is just, it's kind of fun, but I understand where you're coming from.
But yeah, so I think I'm coming from a place of like, I have always liked all the pampery, quote unquote, girly shit. But why? Why do I like that so much? And could I replace some of that with more valuable time? Could I? I'm just questioning it, right? It's not that I will, but it's like, well, does spending 3 hours at the hair salon, is that necessary? What if I just let my grays grow? What if, you know, it's like questioning these things of, oh, because then we have that initial reaction of, well, I love it. It's just for me. Is it though? Like, that's what I'm trying to question, is that first reaction is just like with weight loss, because you got to kind of compare it to realize, oh yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Because with dieting, when I was dieting, but it's for me, it's for my health, I feel so good. This is so self-honoring. No, it freaking wasn't. It never was, but I thought it was. So same with beauty stuff. It's like, we think it's self-honoring. We think it's all great. And it's like, what's the harm? It's like, well, what's the harm of anything that's like, I mean, there's a lot of shit that in our world causes harm, but might not cause us personal harm in the moment. So we're like, it's, what harm does makeup do? It's like, well, let's look. What if every woman decided, and every person of any identity decided, nobody needs to wear makeup. Everyone can just look how they look naturally. No one gives two shits, and everyone's going to be safe, and it's not going to cause any problems.
Their hair color is going to be their hair color. Yeah. Everything's just going to be as is, what you were, whatever happens, whatever you were born with it this way. I think that would be really cool.
Like, you decide to identify with, but it's never going to change if we don't individually kind of question it. It's a little bit out of our comfort zone. Yeah. Like, why do I do what I do? Why do I comply to these things that society tells me to do? Right. And if that question really triggers you, then really take a look. Mm-hmm.
I know. I think for me, it's like I haven't spent so much time and energy on the beauty industry. So it's a bit easier for me to say, oh, I could appreciate doing this once in a while. I've never really spent hours at a salon. I never get my hair cut because I don't, yeah, it's like that seems like boring. I don't know. Like I'm not really excited about that. Or, you know, yeah, I get my nails done every once in a while, but I don't care to continue to do it. Like I never want to get gel nails because I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to, that takes forever and I don't want to deal with it because then you got to go back and get them off or get them redone. And it's like, that's too much like upkeeping. So not saying like, oh, I'm so amazing because I do this. It's just like, that's just like what just happens. It's not like I've really worked hard to get to this point where I am just so natural and I don't have to waste time and energy. It's just kind of, that's just where the personality went with, not saying athletes can't wear makeup, but just, I kind of grew up wearing gray on gray sweats to college class every single day before practice. And it was just like, my life never really brought me towards down that rabbit hole of the beauty industry, just because I lived an athletic lifestyle where you're just constantly kind of like wearing gross soccer socks with your cleats and you got your shin guards and your hair's just always up because that's, you're sweating all the time. I'm just kind of used to more of that life, and that's fine too. Let's not judge anybody's lifestyle. So when I do kind of get a haircut here and there or my nails done here or there, put on some makeup, it's like, yeah, I do it sometimes, but I definitely don't give up any parts of my life for it. But I'm not saying it doesn't come from an intention of like wanting to look pretty. If I go out, like, I'm not saying I have the healthiest intentions with beauty, because of course, yeah, it's like, why do you wear the makeup? Especially in front of other people, like potentially because it makes you feel more beautiful and maybe you'll get more attention for it, potentially. I'm not sure.
Yeah, mine is hugely based in ego. Like that was because I mean, just because we get out of diet culture and we're no longer identifying with that does not mean you're like, your relationship with ego and looks is like completely peeled. Like, yeah. 100% makeup on, I still want to look quote unquote pretty. I still even right now, if I think, okay, I'm going to go to a pub and I'm going to go out with no makeup on and run into someone like from high school or like certain people from my past, that like makes me so anxious. Like, oh my God, like I want
to. Yeah, see, and that makes me not anxious at all.
Still pretty like I used to be. Like there's shit that comes up for me. It's like, I don't want, I would like to feel total. And that, sorry guys.
That probably.
Hear the background noise.
Oh, I was like, are we stopping? No. That roots from, I mean, in high school, you know, it was very much rooted in, you said that you had a certain body in high school and then all of a sudden you lost weight and you became kind of like the talk of the town, talk of high school. Like everybody wants to date me. Like I didn't have that experience. Like I was dating the same person all through high school. I didn't care about boys in high school because it wasn't really a thing for me. I mean, I definitely had an eating issue in high school and like my body changed. But for you, it was very like a visceral, very like a specific like feeling of, I was this way and now I was this way and I got all the attention. And I never went through that feeling. So I think when beauty is very intertwined with that from high school, because it's like me thinking of ever seeing anybody in high school, I don't care. I don't care if I'm in makeup or in soccer. I mean, if I was in soccer clothes, that'd probably make sense. People would be like, oh yeah, she was the soccer girl. So for me, it's like, hey, that's easy. But for you, it's very, very attached to diet culture. And beauty culture attaches to that because you probably were very gorgeous with the makeup and then the very thin body. And that was high school for you. That was high school.
And I mean, and it's all tied to like attention from men. Like, because if I saw girls, I would not give two shits. So, like from high school, it's like certain guys, it's like, oh, they liked me. And now I'm like, they're going to think I'm some homely mom that like doesn't wear makeup and has short hair. And it's like, all of that's tied to judgment around what femininity is, around ego. And it's all ego. When I put makeup on, it's for ego purposes. When I dress a certain way, it's for ego. Like all of it is driven by my ego, which is fine. We all have one. We're all human.
Yeah.
But I would like that to be less running the show. And like
you
want to
feel like you can run into anybody on the street, the hottest guy in high school. You can run into him looking like however you look, and it would not matter.
And feel good in my skin. And that's mm-hmm. the thing, is like, I want to show up with no apologies anywhere ever. Mm-hmm. And so, right. and I fit into the norm of what I have: a straight size body, I have light skin, I have a face that's conventional. Like, so imagine, like, I get it. It's freaking hard because I find it hard. Mm-hmm. And so I know other people are going to have it harder. And I get that it's hard. That doesn't mean we shouldn't question these things and try to push boundaries a little bit, because that's how you will change. And that's how you will feel more comfortable. Like, because I do get that no matter who I see, nobody gives really shit if I wear makeup. Or even
whatever is happening internally is what's actually happening.
Internal. It's about me. It's not about anybody else. Because even if I saw those guys that I'm like, oh, we're from university. Like, oh, when I run into that guy, I hope I look good. So he's like, oh, she still looks good. Who freaking...
I know.
For what? I'm married.
Have you ever, like, have you ever done it to anybody else? Like, have you ever, oh, I see that person from high school. They are looking different. Or they have gray hair. Or they have this, like, and if you were saying that, it's because you're worried about, that's your own internal dialogue. So how we always say, even like in the body world, the food and body world, it's like, if anybody's judging you, they're just judging themselves.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know that you're coming from a place of your own self-judgment. Nobody else really cares.
And I wouldn't do that because, even if someone, quote unquote, looked worse than they used to, what do I care? Like, I'm not trying to date anybody.
What does it do to you?
I'm not trying to be, I don't need to be attracted to anybody. I'm married and monogamous. Like, mm-hmm. what? Like, it's so ego. The ego is weird. It makes you think that you need everyone to be attracted to you, and you need everyone to think you're beautiful. Why? Nobody gives two hoots. And I get also, I get that's like, oh, there is thin privilege. You do have privilege in looking a certain way. So someone who maybe is further away from that quote unquote norm of what you're supposed to look like, you might use beauty tools to kind of be closer to that norm. But also, like,
well, it creates value and worth, honestly. Like, that's not something, oh, well, it's value and worth. Like, that's something to work through internally. Of course, we're going to keep saying that, but it creates your own value and worth. Like, if somebody's possibly giving you attention and thinking you look beautiful, like, that could literally give you a feeling of, I have value, I have worth. Even if you are married, okay, it still might feel nice to be attractive, like feeling like somebody's attracted to you. A lot of people tie their, like, you know, their sexual world is like tied into their worth of like, ooh, I can make somebody have some like sex appeal for me. Therefore, I feel worthy and valuable and powerful because I'm so I feel hot or I feel beautiful. And then I can walk up and I can make somebody feel something and use my sex appeal. And that's my worth and that's my value. I've had many conversations with some friends about that, and they very much tie their worth and their sex appeal to together.
And I think that's a huge part of like what my ego thing was about that. So it's like to take makeup off of that is like, oh, that feels kind of
you
big.
Go down a notch possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, but in a way that's like good. I want to go down a notch. I don't want to feel
we're fighting back.
Like, I don't want to feel like I have to feel that way. Mm-hmm. to be happy, because I mean I obviously it's less and less now, pandemic, I have two small children, I'm married, I'm not going out anywhere meeting anybody new, but like even when I was still single but kind of coming out of diet culture world, like it does feel freaking good, but lots of things that aren't good for you feel good.
Like, I'm pretty much everything.
It feels freaking good to have all this attention, but then what the next day, what does it give you? You just kind of be like, okay, I'm fueled up by others' validation, and then it dwindles,
and it leaves you feeling pretty empty.
Yeah, then you gotta go fill up again by others' validation. It's like, it feels really good to just validate yourself. That's like completely without any beauty tools or dieting, I am enough. Mm-hmm. And if you are single, it's like, I will attract the right person as I am. And I found that too when I was at the height of my like, oh, everyone thinks I'm so beautiful. And just like ego thing is so great. It's like, I never met anyone good. I dated horrible people. I was ghosted for like 4 years straight. My friends were like, what is happening? Like, this is horrible. Like, oh, you date people for like 3 months and all of a sudden you never hear from them again. It's like, what's going on? And then, yeah, when I kind of took a step back from that, and now I'm in a long-term relationship. And it's like, with someone who I said, I'm not going to wear makeup from the rest of the year. He's like, that's so cool. Imagine if you like, you could like change the world and like imagine the industries that would go out of business. I'm like, you're so cool. Like he does not have the ego of like, oh, but I want my wife to look.
I want to go outside beautiful. With my wife and she's going to be like looking a certain way. Yeah. Then if somebody ever did that, you know, that's not the person for you.
But that's who I would have attracted if I keep putting my value in the way I look and wearing the makeup and having the certain body shape and that's who you're going to attract. So
of course,
kind of a catch 22. Like we think we need to look a certain way to be with the, like attract people, but actually it's going to backfire.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. So anyway, this was a long conversation, but I feel
we
like
we can probably keep going for a lot of things.
Yeah, but it's so valuable, but yeah. So I mean, my challenge to you is if you want to, if you don't want to, don't do it because you are a grown up. Mm-hmm. If you want to, try this holiday season going to one or two events with no makeup on and see what happens.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, no one said anything. Or even if someone does, okay, someone says, oh, you're not wearing any makeup. You go, yes, you're right.
And assess like even like getting ready, like how much time it saved you or just like just what kind of like feel out the entire experience of like what was it truly like to just be like, oh, that's not part of the agenda today, and put it to the side, and what happens. And it doesn't mean this is supposed to have, it's not supposed to be anything. You're not supposed to feel euphoria from, and if you do, great, but it's not like there's some expectation. It's just literally experimenting. And it could feel awful or it could feel great or it could feel somewhere in between, as it always is, some ebbing and flowing in between. And just see how it is for you. And then have that awareness and get curious and just leave it at that. It doesn't need to mean anything. And you don't need to force any expectation. It's literally just experimentation and curiosity.
Yeah. And that's what's so cool is like, even when I did put those clothes on and no makeup, I'm like, this feels like weirdly mismatched. Like I have a cute outfit on and aka not sweatpants and a sweater and a toque like I'm wearing right now. But like, oh, I have like a nice sweater on and no makeup on. Like that looks funny to me. And so it's like, I want that to not look funny to me. I want that to look normal to me. Just like when I was dieting and only ever followed models or like fitness people on Instagram. Then a body that didn't look like that, including my own, looked funny to me. Mm-hmm. And then when I started following diverse bodies, now it's like all bodies look totally normal and cool and great to me. Yeah, and it's like, awesome. So I want my face without makeup, even in a social situation, even with quote unquote nice clothes on, I want that to look normal to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we can also talk about what the heck is normal, but we can move on. No.
Well, let's start a whole new episode on what is normal.
What is normal? What is health? What is so many things that we can talk about for hours?
That's what I love. It's a question like, okay, we believe health is this. Is it really? We believe makeup is just totally innocuous. Is it? We believe that normal is normal. What is normal? Like, that is pretty much what undieting is. It's like questioning, well, wait, why do I do what I do? And is it, do I actually like that? Is it actually honoring me? And what if I had 100% choice, what would I actually do? Exactly. And that's all it is.
Yeah. All right. We'll just simplify it at that.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So everybody, if you listen to our podcast, you definitely know that December 1st, our Undiet Your Mind app is coming out. So that is coming up so soon. I think this is like 8 more days. It's going to be awesome. We got 50 plus experts. We're getting all the content loaded up in there. It's diverse. People, diverse content. We also have our journal coming out on the same day. And if you do join the app at the yearly price, then we will send you a free journal, our Undiet Your Mind, Eat with Ease 60-day journal, only in the US and Canada. So there's many things happening coming up December 1st. And if you are not on our email list, definitely get on that. You could do that by getting on the wait list for the app, which is bit.ly/undietappwaitlist. And then you'll be receiving all the emails, and we have a discount code that we're going to be sending you guys to. So definitely want to get on that email list if you're interested in the app or the journal, because you'll get all the info. So that's kind of all the announcements that we have about that. I think today was a good discussion. Very cool.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with more jibber jabber, obviously. Alrighty. Bye. Music for How to Love Your Body is by Grace Harabi. You can find her at kasadiband.com.
If you like the How to Love Your Body podcast, please rate and review it. It really helps a lot and gets the undiet message out to more people. Thanks. Bye.